Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening we'll talk about the medical strike in Kenya. And joining me here in the studio is my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, host of VOA's Africa 54. Vincent, welcome back to the show once again.
Thank you. It's a delight to be here.
You're welcome. And we'll be joined momentarily by David Ohito, who is of the Standard newspaper in Nairobi. He'll be joining us in a moment. We're still trying to get in touch with him online. But our topic tonight, as I said, is going to be the medical strike in Kenya. Despite spending two nights in prison, officials of the Kenyan Doctors Union said they would not soften their stand on better terms. On Wednesday, Kenya Medical Practitioners, Pharmacists and Dentists Union Secretary General Ouma Olugo said the officials' fight to improve health in Kenya was not shaken. Mohamed Yusuf was at the court and filed this report for VOA.
The seven doctors' union officials spent 2 days behind bars after being sentenced to 1 month in jail Monday. A three-judge bench ordered their release Wednesday after Kenya's Council of Governors and union lawyers agreed to continue talks.
Appellants number 1 to 8 in civil appeal number 9 of 2017 shall be released forthwith from prison pending the hearing of the appeal. 2, that the applicants, respondents and interested parties undertake to resume negotiations forthwith with a view to resolving the outstanding issues in order to restore normalcy in the public sector.
The court ordered the Law Society of Kenya and Kenya National Commission on Human Rights that will be leading the talks to submit a report next week with the aim of calling off the month-long doctor strike. After the ruling, the cry of striking doctors in the streets rings out. CBA. The collective bargaining agreement was signed in 2013 between the union and government representatives. The deal covers a range of issues, including improving working conditions for the doctors, improved health facilities, and security for medical staff. Several attempts to end the strike through dialogue have failed, with doctors refusing a 40% salary increase. In solidarity with their colleagues, doctors working in private hospitals have agreed not to serve patients for 2 days. The court hopes the union will call off the strike within 7 days. Policy analyst Boaz Munga says it is not easy to solve their grievances in 1 week.
But 7 days is surely enough for them to negotiate a return to work formula, which means they can go back to work after negotiating and then the other pending issues will be sorted out, but not ironing out all the issues contained in any collective bargaining agreement.
Munga also says as the country approaches an election, the doctors feel this may be the only chance for them to get what they want.
Many workers in our country have realized that perhaps the best time to try to twist the government, which doesn't seem to want to listen to you at other times, is when we are approaching an election.
A new round of talks is expected to begin Thursday. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Yes, that's Mohamed Yusuf reporting for us from Nairobi. Where do I start now? Maybe let me start with David. Good evening, David.
Good evening.
Sorry, we were having issues getting you, but you had the tail end of our report from Nairobi.
Yes.
First of all, how do you make of this? What do you make of this? This ping pong between the government and the doctors?
Fine, it's been a very disastrous time for this country, and we are hoping for lasting solutions. We hope the fresh round of talks will yield fruits this time round, because what we have seen is pain, suffering, death, and total collapse of the health sector in Kenya. In short, what we have witnessed in Kenya is comparable only to a country in civil war or a failed state. There must be a solution sooner rather than later.
I see. Vincent, this thing has been going on. The talks have been going on without a resolution. The court has given the association, the union, doctors' union, 7 days, 1 week to figure this one out. How do you think it's possible to find a solution in 7 days?
I personally think it is possible to find a solution in 7 days because there is an agreement on the table. There is a deal. All that needed to be done is to be implemented. What needs to be heard now from the side of the government is will this deal be implemented? And if not, if for some reason there is some serious mitigating factors, as the government says, can only afford 40% of this. There has to be that kind of discussion as to why that is. The government broke, and if the government is broke, then how do you explain that monies can be spent in other programs or other people who are paid by taxpayers, like politicians in Kenya's parliament, can be continuing to receive unbelievable amounts of money, and other monies can be looted and people defended even when they are clearly stealing money from the government. I believe if there's goodwill on the side of the government, because there's a deal that was already reached, this could be resolved.
I see. David, there are those who believe that it's not the doctors' union that is taking a hard line. It's the government side that is failing to meet its obligation and its promise. Do you share that
view? There's been that sentiment, and there have been clear signs. You have seen how topmost Ministry of Health officials were differing before the parliamentary committee, and it shows you how disorganized the government has been in trying to resolve this. That one principal officer charged with matters of health can decide to go and campaign to register voters instead of trying to address the issues of concern raised in his ministry. That is, abandoning duty and should be surcharged. If you ask me, he has no business being in that office anymore. And we have seen a lot of, lackluster approach from government. Yes, there may have been hard stance even by doctors, but if you look in detail, what the doctors are asking for is just better service, a better working condition. We want to improve our health services so that the very permanent secretary and cabinet secretary can go to our public hospitals when they fall ill and not take the next flight and go and seek treatment abroad.
David, before we proceed, what's your comment on the court's decision to allegedly it was contempt of court. But was that the best solution the court had to compel the doctors to go back and negotiate?
I think the court has been trying to allow dialogue to proceed. But I think it got to at the level of the lower court, which was the high court. It got to a level that there was really no signs of any white smoke coming out of the chimney. So by the Court of Appeal giving the doctors and the government a chance, appointing fresh mediators, I think there is a lot of goodwill to find a lasting solution. The country is in pain. The country is bleeding. Patients are suffering, both in public and private hospitals. What Kenyans want to see is a final solution to this protracted battle. We are no better than a country in civil war. We are not better than Somalia. We are not better than DRC Congo. I mean, Kenya must stand as one of the best examples of a nation on African soil. What the court said, let them get back to the drawing board, let them negotiate, let them find a solution sooner rather than later.
Vicente, well, of course people are suffering and they should. There needs to be a solution. But is this the right way? Can you coerce a deal by, I don't know.
You know, sometimes someone looking at these doctors may see them as being heartless, may see them as being without compassion. Mm. But actually, you see, if you're really honest and genuine in your observation, these are people who are so desperate because they have no other way of compelling the government to honor their part of the deal. Now, from where I stand, I see a government, I see politicians who are completely completely heartless and don't really care about what happens to the rest of Kenyans. They're punishing the doctors, holding them ransom with the notion that, you know, out of a human thing, good human hearts, they should go back to work, or by coercion. And that's why I think even the court's action went kind of a little bit overboard, because this is blackmail on the side of doctors. And it is the government, it is those who, you know, signed this deal that need to honor their part of the deal. And I don't see how you can get out of this without having a very frank and honest assessment of this deal and move on with implementation.
And further, Vincent, there is a record on this. Governments, not only Kenyan government, even some neighboring countries, others, they have promised teachers, for instance, they had a strike. Nurses, they promised them will do this, they never meet their part of the bargain. So that's why some people are saying the doctors may have a point in taking a hard stance to extract what they can extract.
It's not the first time. I mean, we have lived through, me and, you know, David knows this, lived through so many strikes, and many times the government position is to threaten lawyers, threaten doctors, threaten teachers. Sometimes they have even threatened to bring people from other countries. They were willing to pay people from India or other parts of the world to come and work and then increase the salary of people who are playing a key role in the development of our country. I have seen over the years a government that doesn't really value the service of people who have done so much, who have, you know, gone to school, worked so hard so that they can make a major contribution to our country. But they're willing to have members of parliament, other politicians, not only get paid huge amounts of salaries, but also benefits. And part of what they have done over the years is still, how can you ever tell public servants that there's no money in the country when politicians can transform themselves into multimillionaires in a space of 2-3 years?
David, before you joined us, I mentioned in my introduction that the Kenya Medical Practitioners, Pharmacists and Dentists Union Secretary General Ouma Oluga had said that their fight to improve health in Kenya was not shaken.
Yes.
Now, what happens if in the 7 days they were given, nothing works out?
It's very difficult to predict what will happen, but I can assure you, I have... you know, the doctors, the KPMU issued like a 6 point of what they're asking for. And if you ask me, it's an expanded base of what they're looking for to make the health sector run functionally in this country. And one, it's better equipped hospitals. Two, sufficient health staff in terms of doctors, nurses, laboratory and support staff. Three, it's adequate compensation. They're not just asking for salaries and better healthcare for all Kenyans. They're also asking for merit-based promotions that, if you look, for example, today, the biggest complaint I have listened to as a journalist in practice is that the principal secretary has never practiced medicine anywhere, and therefore, how can you come and talk to consultants? What do you know about medicine? What can you tell people about managing the health sector? And those are valid questions. How was he promoted? Did he meet the merits? Those are basic questions that we can never run away from. And the question of posting and transfers being done by the national level, and finally standardized disciplinary procedures. Why would we apply a different disciplinary procedure for a member of Kenya Medical Association and the KPMDU, who the PS is, and then apply a different one for a consultant who works, say, for Migori County? So they have valid grounds that if you are a sensible person, then you know they have a ground they're talking about. But what we want is accountability. We contribute a lot of money, those of us even who work for private sector, in terms of National Health Insurance Fund. How much does this money help me when I fall sick? You know, those are valid questions that must be answered.
And you know, David, you raise, those really important points. If you summarize the requests, the demands of these doctors, in fact, they're fighting for all Kenyans. These doctors are not fighting for themselves. They're fighting for the Kenya's health system so that every Kenyan can go to a hospital, be treated by a motivated doctor, motivated practitioner, be in a good facility that, makes them feel even better by getting in there. But these efforts are being blocked by people who would go abroad because,
want to supply everything in hospitals, supply expired drugs, do not supply the right equipment in time, force the equipment on the throats of county governments and medical practitioners without assessing the necessary skills to operate these machines. So let the doctors do their work, they know it better. But we must not have a system which is convoluted and has racketeers and profiteers playing in some games.
I see. Well, let's take a short break. We'll be back to continue our discussion of the Kenyan medical strike. Welcome back. In case you're joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're discussing the Kenyan medical strike. Our panelists are my colleagues, David Ohito of the Standard newspaper, who, by the way, I understand is maybe transitioning to politics, and my colleague, Vincent McCurry, host of Africa 54, and I'm your host, Douglas Mpoga, here in Studio 9. All the luck, David, as you transition, maybe things will improve. Yep. back to our topic now, tonight's topic. Talking of politics, these discussions and the doctor's plight may be becoming a political football, because there are those in government who are accusing the opposition of funding the doctor's strike. Today, the National Super Alliance co-principal Musa Mudavadi denied claims that the coalition is doing that. So to what extent, David, I mean, let me start with Vincent here. Do you think, because the election is coming soon also,
Yes.
How do you think the election is playing into all this?
The truth is that all these things get politicized, and it's in any country. There is honesty among some people who really mean well, and whatever, they may be saying may be really genuine, that they are rooting for the doctors. But when it comes to politicians, in my experience, politicians, most of the politicians are a bunch of dishonest people. They pick up anything that will serve their interest. The reason why I say this is that over the years, all the politicians were seeing, and I'm sorry, David, I know you're about to transition into this, you'll become probably, and I wish you well, you become a member of parliament. But what really disheartens me is that many, many of the politicians we see today, first, they have all worked together. They've been in the same parties together. When they're in parliament, they're totally in agreement on anything that is of benefit to them. I have not seen politicians in the Kenyan parliament or across the country coming together really to root for the well-being of Kenyans, as we say, Wananchi, or of even such workers who are very critical to our society, whether they be teachers or doctors. Of course, when it serves a purpose, when you're on the other side as a politician, you jump on the bandwagon. But I want to see honesty, where politicians can actually stand up and say, you know what, if it means that you reduce our salaries to help improve our economy, please do it. Our health system is more critical than me getting paid so much money so that I can afford to go and get treated in South Africa or elsewhere. I've never seen politicians honestly coming together to fight for Kenyans. Most politicians operate like mercenaries who are there to plunder, squander, and move on.
David?
I'm going to be one of the politicians, and I'm sure I'll be an MP come August 9th this year. But I want to say, I want to tell McCurry, I think he needs to visit home quite often.
I was there recently. I was there recently, David, and I'm coming back in a few months.
I am going into politics for one simple reason. I want to make a difference in this gridlock of corruption and negative tribalism, and which is why I have the motivation that there are people who can stand for something, but we have a lot of us who can stand for nothing. I remember the parliament of George Nyona, the parliament of J.M. Kariuki, you know, the parliament of very many other respected people, Jean Marais, Sorone, I can count James Orengo, the Seven Bearded Sisters, people who would say no when the government was trampling on the rights of the people.
Those were the days.
I want to be that kind of MP. I want to stand for the rights of the people, that you can no longer contribute NHIS and then walk to a public hospital and still be asked to pay cash to receive a painkiller. No, that era must be put behind us. That in this era, we can no longer have classrooms which are being smeared with cow dung in digital era. No, we must avail learning materials and learning conditions as well as treatment conditions.
You know, David, I'm going to hold you to that, because what happens many times, including what has happened to so many of our friends, is once they get elected, they taste that juice, that the nectar of power. They move away from the people. They seclude themselves. They become completely unreachable, and they stop fighting for the Mwananchi. I look forward to people like you. Hopefully, you live up to your promises.
Yes.
Who will fight for
the people? Revolutions all over the world are individually driven. It's never driven by a group of people. But you just got to preach and preach hard. Mm-hmm. If you look at what Che Guevara did, changing the Cuban policy, you know, if you look at what I can mention, very many other leaders, Napoleon Bonaparte, if you look at revolutionaries of the world, Karl Marx of this world, if you look at Martin Luther King Jr., you know, what they did, they did not go to be entrenched with the masses, but they stood for something. They preached it, and countries changed because of them. I'll be one of those people who will create change.
I see. We wish you the best. Now, my other question is, the fact that the timing now of this ping-pong demands by the doctors and the government not giving in, whether it will help or hurt the cause of the doctors. Because remember, like, the code leader Raila Odinga was in court on Wednesday, and he asked Kenyans to vote for the leaders who uphold human rights. He termed the jailing of the union officials as shameful. So might this force the government to actually work on this issue and solve it?
Let me, for me, I think the government should not necessarily be affected by whoever is saying whatever they're saying. The point is, there is a deal. There's an agreement between doctors and the government. So whether Raila Odinga says anything regarding this, or anybody else says whatever they want to say, the government needs to come out clean and do their part. But I suppose if the government fails to honor this part of the deal, I don't think I will hold it against anybody who can use this is a political platform to push for leaders in the coming parliament, in the coming government, who are willing to honor the public servants like doctors.
Of course, David, what you've been saying, I guess, and I see why you stand. You are on the side of the doctors, and I hope you maintain it when you win. But do you think it may be used as the weapon? The way government reacts to this, the way government tries to solve this or fails to solve it, may impact some of those in the government?
Oh, yes. If you look at the government reaction, government strategy in all this, it's been lackluster that you have a deputy president, you have a president who doesn't care that the doctors are on strike, that his subjects, his taxpayers are dying in hospital like flies, that his voters are dying without being attended to, cannot get painkillers. Then why should you have government in place in the first place? You know, these are valid reasons which need to be addressed. It's a crisis. Why should you have churchmen preaching to the state that you need to take action? You, Mr. President, you must wake up from slumber. And Mr. Deputy President, you need not to, you know, keep quiet when there's such a momentous crisis. It tells you leadership has gone to bed. and they must be waking up. I really support the opposition, what they've done, the actions they've taken, trying to bring sense where state leadership has gone to sleep.
I personally, one other thing I think that is very important, I think all politicians, all leaders in Kenya, and hopefully they may be listening at some point, should ask themselves, 50 years after independence, should we have a health system where those who have the means cannot go to a hospital in Kenya because they have no trust, they have no confidence in the hospital in Kenya, that we should continue seeing people going to South Africa, going to Germany, a president like that of Nigeria spending thousands upon thousands of dollars being treated in London, when we have the capacity, we could create the capacity to treat people back home. Hospitals that can serve the president, the vice president, the member of parliament, and me and everybody else. Isn't it embarrassing when they show up on the, in the capitals of the West to seek treatment when they have millions of citizens in their country who cannot afford this kind of treatment? What is the message? What is, where is their patriotism then?
I see. Finally, we're running out of time. There are those in the government circles who have been talking off record, who fear that if they concede to the doctors' demands and fulfill the agreement they struck with the doctors, it may create a chain reaction. Teachers, other civil servants may come and demand the same in this period, in this window before the elections. What's your take?
If they did agree on this, why not? Why not? If there is a deal, why not? That's my take.
David, what do you think?
Do you feel the dream of any patriotic Kenya is to make this country better, livable. I have no reason to come to America other than for touristic visits. But if I can get my medicals right, cheap and efficient, my education right, same, cheap and efficient, perfect, world class, I need not to get out of this country. It's so beautiful. I want to stay here. And I want to be that one MP that will go to a public hospital and not a private hospital.
Yeah. So the deal is, let there be honesty on the side of the government, fulfill the promises that have been made. If there is a deal with the doctors, fulfill the deal. Deal with teachers, fulfill the deal. It doesn't matter what time it is. Yeah, promise.
But that's the ideal. Do you think it will happen? That's my question, I guess.
You know what? If it doesn't happen, I think it should be reflected in the elections. I think somebody should pay
for the price. Yeah. David, last word. Do you think it will happen in this?
Whether it happens or not, we want better health care for all Kenyans.
I see. Well, thanks very much, gentlemen. That's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, David Ohito, digital editor at Standard. I'm told, reliably informed, he's transitioning into politics. And Vincent McCauley, my colleague here, host of Africa 54. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the program.
It's a pleasure.
Okay. You're Vincent, welcome. Thanks talking to you.
You're welcome. I look forward, man. Mr. Honorable.
Okay, yes.
And our producer is Jackson Mvunganyi. Our engineer tonight was the amiable Skip Sisk. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website, click on Reporters Roundtable, and then you can listen to it again. And you can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, in Washington.